into sports.
20 yards out, Hurst to shoot. Don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
And get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him. Yeah, no.
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? Get a slap?
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network, with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites. The Paddy Power Half Hour on OTB Sports. Minimal contact in stadiums. That shouldn't stop the usual suspects from going down. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
All right, you're very welcome along to this week's edition of the Paddy Power Half Hour. We're with you every Friday afternoon, trying to pick our way through the carcass of the weekend's fixtures, deciding which ones you should invest in and which ones you should run a mile from. With us, as ever, I'm delighted to say we've got Jason Murphy from Paddy Power, their odds compiler. Jason, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Jar, how's tricks?
From his lair, Enda Call is in his YouTube studio, calling it as usual. Enda, how are you?
Not too bad, Jar. I'm in the off-the-ball office again from a non-disclosed location, but it's a different one from last week.
Well, I mean, you've kind of given it away there, Enda. It's not actually your lair. Look, I'm not a big believer in that whole Blue Monday nonsense, but I firmly believe this might be the worst weekend of football on the calendar every year, because no one cares about the FA Cup anymore. It's done. Put a fork in it.
Well, like, I don't know if it's that or the fact that, and I know Will O'Callaghan was tweeting about this, the football, and I'm a football man, like I'd sit down and watch whatever football is on the TV, but there's just too much of it these days. It's absolutely relentless. It's the game, if you turn around on a Tuesday, there could be four games slated, and then the next day there's another six, and then the next day there's another eight. There is eventually a point where it gets to be too much football, and I think we've reached that.
It's hard to keep up with. The one saving grace this weekend is that Aston Villa, because of COVID, will play Newcastle on Saturday night as well. So look, the FA Cup fixtures, let me run you through them. Southampton against Arsenal, Cheltenham against Man City, these are some of them. Chelsea versus Luton, Fulham versus Burnley, Brentford versus Leicester City, Manchester United versus Liverpool, Everton versus Sheffield Wednesday, and Wickham versus Spurs. Every week we put up a Twitter poll, Enda. You've gone for the low-hanging fruit, I would call it. Frank Lampard. Should Chelsea sack Frank Lampard? Yes or no?
I mean, he's been labelled a failure already at this stage of the season, and I think I haven't looked at the results here, but I think people are pretty much leaning 50-50 on this. It's not really clear cut whether people want him to be sacked or not, or whether people think he deserves to be sacked in the first place. Does Frank Lampard deserve to be sacked? I spoke about this one other day. I mean, in one point he did get the job with absolutely no experience and just because of who he is. Then if you look at it another way, he has spent more money than every other manager in the Premier League, and he's mid-table. But then from another point of view, he did take Chelsea from third to fourth last year, and from Europa League championships to no trophies. And before that, he did take Derby from sixth to sixth. So, I mean, he has all of the results in his background there to back up whether he should be sacked or not. And you know, we put that and people are still questioning whether he should be sacked. I think he should.
Yes, 43%. No, 43%. And yes, get a German in, 13%. So that third wheel there and kind of skewing your results. But don't worry, there's still people time for people to vote on this. He's the odds-on favourite. Unbackable at this stage, odds-on favourite. Is that right?
Yeah, in terms of next to be sacked, he's been shortened into 8 to 15. We tipped it up last week looking at this market. We said, you know, Frank at 11 to 4 was probably the most likely, and he got a result against a 10-man Fulham, but obviously very poor showing against Leicester during the week. So Enda has hit the nail on the head. There's questions you ask about whether you should sack a manager or not. Has he got a body of work? Frank hasn't got a body of work. Similar criticism that you would have had of Ole getting the United job. But a really important question before you sack a manager is, who do you get in? It's almost like being in a relationship, like, you know, who, if you decide to jump ship, what's out there for you? And I just think with Thomas Tuchel being available, okay, Frank has a really long history and relationship with Abramovich, obviously with the Chelsea fans, and 5 defeats in 8 games. If that was Benitez, he'd be under fire. If that was Sarri, he probably would have been gone by now. So Lamps is hanging on. But Thomas Tuchel there, we've seen a few bets this week where he's actually been backed into 1 to 3.
Right.
And the fact that he's available would be a great shout, I think, to come in.
You could give it to him for 6 months. Your missus is delighted, by the way, listening to this, that you're comparing her to Frank Lampard. Let's move on. Leicester City to win a trophy this year, Enda.
Yeah, so, I mean, we've spoken about Brendan Rodgers a couple of times here, Chair, and he has improved this Leicester side massively. So to win a trophy, so that's what, the FA Cup, the Europa League, and...
the Premier League?
The Premier League. So they're still in a shout, and with a shout in the Premier League. It's a weird season, still in a shout with the FA Cup if they get through this weekend. And I'm not sure if they've got the quality. There's a lot of good teams in the Europa League this year. So I think that's a bridge too far for them at the minute. But, I mean, they could potentially win the FA Cup, and that's a stepping stone to other things, as we touched on in the show already.
It's a brilliant season if you're not a Liverpool fan. I think we can all agree on that, right? It has absolutely, so far, been one of the best, most entertaining Premier League seasons, with a lot of crazy stuff happening that you just didn't expect, like at any stage to be happening, and it's still happening this far into the season. So talk to us a little bit about Brendan Rodgers and what the money is saying here, because I wouldn't be terribly surprised if Chelsea were to bang in anybody for the next 5-6 months and wait and try and get him to be their next manager. He kind of fits the bill. He understands the club. He came up there. He's got relationship. He does have a body of work at this point. So what are the odds saying about Leicester winning a trophy? And do you have any insight into him sticking around, Jason?
Yeah, in terms of Leicester winning the trophy, so you can Dutch all the competitions that they're still in, and basically it works out about 4-1 for them to win the trophy. Don't expect them to win them all, but they have a squad there and a manager that I think they would be competitive in any of them. Tricky tie against Slavia Prague in the Europa League, that's not a gimme, but Rodgers, since he's come in, made the right decision to leave Celtic at the time. He's had them humming fifth last season and going really well. So 4-1 to win the trophy. In terms of getting the Chelsea job, we do have next Chelsea manager market on site. Tuchel is the favourite there at 1-3. Brendan Rodgers is 12-1. Now, this market would be settled on even if a caretaker manager was to get it after 10 games. So if they went the Goose Hiddink route, who's actually managing in the Caribbean at the moment, he's 33-1. That means that Rodgers wouldn't win in this market. But definitely, given his body of work, the fact he's been at Chelsea previously as a youth coach and reserve coach, and what he has done, if Chelsea were able to get him in the summer, you definitely wouldn't say it wasn't a bad call, especially that he has managed a top club like Liverpool before.
Okay, so it's possible that Jody Morris might be the settlement in this market, but Brendan Rodgers might be the next full-time market, so you wouldn't be back in this market if you thought it was going to be Brendan Rodgers in the summer.
You'd like to think Jody Morris would walk with Lampard, that he wouldn't... But yeah, like
it's football,
you said,
isn't it?
Karamaker, yeah, in it, bruv, in it. But if he's in for 10 games, that's usually how we settle those types of markets.
10 matches is the cutoff.
Usually,
point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good. So, Ed, did you want to say anything about that specifically?
Well, like Damian Delaney mentioned it in the football show during the week, and he got absolutely slaughtered for it. But I mean, what's to say he wouldn't go to Chelsea? I definitely don't buy into the argument that because he was a previous Liverpool manager, he wouldn't take the Chelsea job. Because I mean, he showed with Celtic that the loyalty isn't exactly there.
He worked for Chelsea. That's what.
No, exactly.
I was waiting for you to have your little sneaky dig. I was about to praise you for not having your sneaky dig this week, but you got it in there. Okay, fair enough. Celtic fan. No, just to
I'm just putting across a view that was there on social media that night that Damien that was put towards Damien Delaney and why he wouldn't be the man for the.
And then
the
you had
job.
A sneaky dig on top of the.
Well, you have to have a sneaky little dig, you know. But ambition is a crazy thing, and there's evidence there that Brendan Rodgers is one of the most ambitious managers in the Premier League.
Yeah.
So I think he would be, number one, a great appointment for Chelsea because the body of work, like Jason said, is there for him. He does improve players, and he would be able to take this Chelsea side with all these superstar talents in it that don't seem to be coached all that well by Frank Lampard, and he would bring his coaching across, and I think he'd be an excellent signing for Chelsea. Thomas Tuchel, I don't think, would be suited to the Chelsea job at all because he is very much an authoritarian manager who wants to get his own way and wants to rule the club. He's not going to get that at Chelsea, so I think it would be a bad move for him.
I'm not sure. What's in between? Sorry, did we get... Who else is even in the mix for this?
Yeah, so you have Shevchenko is there at 5-1 purely because we've seen a bit of money for him, but Ukraine manager, they've actually... got quite a nice group for Euro 2020 or 21 if it goes ahead this summer, so it's hard to see him coming in. Other selections there are Nagelsmann, unlikely to walk away from Leipzig midway through the season. Ragnik is free and available. He's there at about 13-2, but based on what we've seen this week, 1-3 Tuchel just because he's available. But The Athletic did put out an article about Chelsea going the German route, and these markets are very volatile. So we do see money come off the back of the newspapers, but do you always believe what you're reading? The news is probably another part of it too.
See, the issue with Chelsea as well, it's such a weird club that the likes of, say Sarri, for example, and I know Chelsea fans really didn't take to him at all, but he's a project manager. It's going to take 3 to 4 years to build what he wants at the club. And even though he won trophies, he didn't get the support that he wanted because people just were not behind him. The likes of Tuchel, the likes of Ragnick, even Nagelsmann in a stage, they've got the reputation, but will they get the time at a club like Chelsea? They're such a volatile group of fans that I don't know if they would.
So you're saying the only correct answer to this is the current Leicester City manager?
Yeah, because I think Bren Rodgers will come in and within half a year would have that team running the way he wants it.
Obviously it's miles away, but if Rodgers was to be the Chelsea manager and you were making up markets for next season's Premier League, would that have a significant impact, the fact that somebody of his profile is managing a club, or is it purely about the performance of the team, how they did last year? And, because when we were talking about your own internal ratings, How does the manager factor into that?
Yeah, it's significant. We think a manager can make anything, a good manager can make anything between 5% to 10% difference either per match or over a long period of a season. So for argument's sake, you could see, Chelsea probably started the season about 7 or 8 to 1. Obviously, you're factoring in title race with all the other teams, but if Rodgers was there, yeah, probably shorten it a tick or two, not massively, given that he'd only have a pre-season. The great thing with Leicester was he came in mid-season and were able to hit the ground running the following season. But yes, we would improve the Chelsea rating if Rodgers was the manager above Frank Lampard.
Okay. What's the volatility like in the market at the moment in terms of the outright for the Premier League? And I know you haven't prepared this for us, but it's been like it. So it was a couple of weeks ago where Man City went favourites in running in the middle of a game. It might even have been a Liverpool game, was it? Since then, they've been favourites?
Yeah, I mean, I think we had them 4-6, 8-11 last week. They're 2-5 now, Man City, to win it. United are gone second favourites in the market at 13-2. And Liverpool are next then. Sorry, United 11-2, Liverpool 13-2, and Leicester at 20-1. What I would just say with the FA Cup this weekend, we kind of had a look at the numbers. And Ole has got the 4 semi-finals with United without actually winning anything. And in terms of a long cup run, the data tells us that it costs you about a point come the end of the season. And if you look at how precious these points could be to United in terms of a title race, if United go on a long cup run and finish with a point less than what they have now, their chances of winning the league is actually swings by about 4%. So as a United fan looking ahead to the Liverpool game, I could be okay with a loss this weekend, knowing that it could increase our chances of winning the title from about 15% to about 19-20% just for the season that's in it. Other teams love cup runs, but it didn't do Van Gaal any favours winning the cup at United. United fans are still remember success, and just for the season that's in it, you wouldn't want to give up any points by going far in a competition that whether you win or not doesn't matter, but if Ole won this league title, it'd be incredible.
How do the maths work for that? How do you equate the long cup run with the giving up, surrendering of a single point?
So we looked at 7 seasons of data, not including last season, but 7 seasons before that. And if you look at all the league games played from the start of the 5th round of the FA Cup up to the final, if you take the teams that make the semi-finals and the teams then that do not, you have about 1,800 games there. And we could see that in terms of what teams are expected to get from all of those matches, the teams that don't make the cup semi-finals perform 0.05 of a point better. And if you multiply that over 15 games, it rounds out to almost 1 point per game. It's just one variable, and there's a lot of context in every kind of match price and expected points per game in terms of team news, motivation, what happens on the day. But based on those rough figures, and even simple maths to tell you, or simple football fans to tell you, if United beat Liverpool, they have to play West Ham in the next round, a fired up West Ham that are going for the cup. You'd rather United spend time on the training ground, not have to worry about travelling or any other arrangements, and focus on the league games, because it's those kind of cup games that upset what you're trying to do. And what is already a congested season, you can see that actually being exacerbated, that it could cost the team more than a point going on a cup run.
I totally buy the maths in this instance. And then at the same time, in living memory in Manchester United, there is the whole, we got battle hardened with our cup runs in the year of the treble. And, you know, maybe that was... maybe it's a completely different era, and actually, you know, those players played, they ran less, maybe the fitness levels got better as the season went on, and certainly they were up against much smaller squads. So maybe that moral sense of what was happening has completely changed.
Yeah, momentum in beating Liverpool would be great for, you know, United's confidence, absolutely. But in this season of all seasons in particular, I mean, you'd rather play just two league games in 7 days rather than three games, and one of those games being West Ham coming to play up in Old Trafford. Like you said, the simple logic like that, plus United as well, the Europa League as well too on top of that, a really tough tie against Real Sociedad too. So like I said, it's just an extremely congested season this season. Less games the better.
I am throwing both the cup matches straight away. I know what your take on this is, and we'll get into Liverpool now, because as well you've been doing some digging on that, but what team would you pick for Manchester United this weekend?
I mean, you're rotating, aren't you? I mean, God forbid you play Donny van de Beek once in every couple of cup games. Like, I do think, yeah, there definitely is.
But you're not rotating anybody important. So van de Beek, come on in. Dan James, come on in.
The beauty of United's squad is that they actually have some serious depth now. So that you can play the likes of Mata, you can play Williams, you can play Greenwood, you can play Donny van de Beek. And the likelihood is United do have the squad there that can overcome most oppositions. And the fact that Liverpool aren't taking the FA Cup as seriously over the last couple of years will also play into that. So I think that shows you the importance again in FA Cup weekends, especially when you're betting, is to wait for the starting 11 to see what is going to actually be out there. Because if I'm looking at Liverpool's cup team against United's potential cup team, because they do play some regular starters in there as well, I would have United as favourites going into the weekend.
And do you want them to win?
If you can get as far as the semi-final without putting too much stress on
you're
going to
lose a point. The maths say you're going to lose a point, potentially.
You probably... the league this year is more important, absolutely. But what I'm saying is I think United have the strength and depth, regardless of what team they play, that they can reach the quarterfinal, semi-final.
Okay, all right. I like the sound of those maths, so and it certainly backs up my instincts. I actually also think that Liverpool, when the season came back and after they won the league, when they continued to play their best team, at that point last season I said they should send everybody off for a pre-season. They should just go off, go and lie on whatever beach it is that you're allowed to lie on, and away you go. They didn't do it. They kept playing everybody, and look, we are where we are. But you've got your own maths here, and now you've been doing some digging.
I do. So a lot of comparisons of Liverpool now, this team under Jurgen Klopp in his sixth year, to the Jurgen Klopp Borussia Dortmund team in his last year. So I wanted to see what the figures said, and I do have to take liberty with some of these numbers, because you're looking at Dortmund at the end of the season, their numbers, and Liverpool halfway through the Premier League season. So, for example, the Borussia Dortmund team, they didn't fall off a cliff like everyone thinks they did. They were just quite unlucky in the way things fell for them. So they were still running more than everyone else in the league. They still had an average of 120 kilometers per game. They still had an XG of plus eight above where they should have been. And even Liverpool's analyst Ian Graham said about this season, he said that he looked back at Dortmund's season under Jurgen Klopp, analysed every pass, tackle, everything. And he thinks that Dortmund should have finished second that year as opposed to seventh, based on all the data that he collected. So Liverpool this year, again, if you look at their data, they've scored 25 goals from open play. They've got an XG of about 29. So they're underperforming in front of goal from open play. They're also conceding more goals than they should be, because their XG for conceded goals from open play is about 13. They've conceded more than that from open play this year. So they're conceding more goals than they are expected to concede, and they're also scoring less than they're expected to score. So they're underperforming across the entire play, entire team when it comes to attacking and defending. And there's context to that, though. I mean, you're looking at the defense, you're playing two center midfielders there, and going forward, you're looking at injured players like Mane, who had COVID for a while there. Salah is underperforming to the where he would be last year. Jota is out injured. Firmino is not a goal scoring striker. So all these things lead to where Liverpool are at the minute. But the difference between the Dortmund season and the Liverpool season is that Liverpool are playing in the middle of the most congested season of all time, and everybody has had a bad run of form so far, and Liverpool are just in the middle of theirs right now.
So you think that they're going to come good on the basis of the stats?
I think if they can just tighten it up a little bit, take a few more chances. I mean, they're not underperforming that badly in front of goal. I mean, it's only four goals of difference compared to where they should be. So they're not actually performing that badly. It's just a matter of converting those chances a bit better than they are. So United had the worst start to their season since the early 90s this season, and they're top of the table. Man City didn't come good until after Christmas and they're second. Leicester had a bad run of form and they're third. Chelsea are in their bad, bad patch at the minute. Arsenal at one point were just above the relegation zone and look where they are now. This season can turn after one game and Liverpool can go on a run. And I think they have the squad, they have the quality there that they can do it. If they can get the players back into their proper positions, then Liverpool can definitely challenge for the title this year.
What about this, Jason? Just on a pure form, and they're obviously in the middle of it right now, and we've seen other teams come out of their slumps a little bit earlier on in the year, but it doesn't feel like Liverpool are about to turn a corner here.
I don't think they're far off, to be honest, sure. I think Enda has explained it quite well there. And even if you think of the games where they've dropped points, like very unlucky against West Brom, probably should have won the game, see the late equaliser. The game against Newcastle, how they didn't get the ball over the line to win that is still bizarre. If you watch the chances back now, you still think it's going to hit the back of the net. You know, if they win those two games, okay, yes, they didn't win against United, surprised to lose against Burnley, but like they're not that far off it. You do have concerns, especially around COVID with Mane and Salah. Can't quantify, it's hard to know how much of an effect that makes, but when those two players in particular are the world's best, if they just drop their performance levels by 1%, whether that's due to COVID or maybe motivation, you know, that's the effect that it does have on the team. But like the knock 7 in against Crystal Palace, and everyone was purring about them, how great they were. You know, they're just on...
Was that not a fluke, though?
Variance.
Was that not like...
The 7-0 against Palace?
Yeah, was it not 8 shots and 7 goals and, like, you know, keeper save nothing all night? Like, that's one of those freak results that happens. And that's the fluke as opposed to the bad performance against West Brom, bookending the bad performance against Burnley. Everything
exactly
in between has been a flat line.
But this is how variance works. So like we said, we did scored 7 goals against Palace. If you look at the XG in the 4 games they haven't scored against, they're actually in for 7 or 8 goals across the 4 games. So it's just a run of variance. Again, hate using this word, but the process is still there for Liverpool. Obviously, Van Dijk is still a massive miss as well in the knock-on effect, not only defensively, but offensively that has. But I'm not concerned about Liverpool. And like Enda says, you know, if they can put a run together, a win against Spurs and everything looks a lot more rosy for Liverpool.
So there's a bit of value about Liverpool at that price, you think?
I think so. I think City win it, let's be honest about it, and that's why the price, like, you know, that no marks for saying City are going to win it. But if you were giving me a free bet over anyone else, I'd be back in Liverpool there. I know you might be tempted by Leicester at 20-1, but Liverpool at 13-2, it'd be the bet I'd be having there.
Okay. Is there anything else from the FA Cup weekend this weekend that you're looking at, Jason?
Anything really, you've a rake of matches there to cover. I think it's quite interesting to maybe have a look at Chorley against Wolves tonight. It's just because it's the fourth round of the FA Cup, what makes the fourth round good is getting cup upsets. Can see Nuno is already giving out about the Chorley pitch. I mean, I think they're 22-1 to win tonight. Like, we don't expect them to actually cause an upset, but we'd love to do it. If you're sitting down to watch the game, you'd like to see it be competitive. If you're looking for a bet on it, you can back Wolves at 8-11 to win to nil. I don't like that bet because it doesn't win until the 90th minute. Even if a team wins 4-0, there's always a chance that bet can lose. But you could back both teams to score. It's 11-10, slightly odds against. Wolves have actually conceded the first goal in 8 out of their 9 last games, something like that, and haven't kept a clean sheet in about, again, maybe only one in their last 11 or 12 games. So that'll be an interesting game tonight. Wolves might be looking to go on a cup run to put out quite a strong side against Crystal Palace. Just did the token change of the goalkeeper, but it's like to target that game against Palace to win. But in terms of winning the cup itself, they're 22-1. And a good thing about the FA Cup is we know who teams play in the fifth round, and Wolves would actually meet the winners of Southampton or Arsenal. So I don't think the cup is there either for Wolves at 22-1. But it'd be interesting to see if we get a cup upset this weekend. Not all the Fabs are going to win all these games.
Okay, Southampton against Arsenal was a game that you were looking at a little bit. And Southampton obviously were hipster's choice for a couple of weeks there. And then all of a sudden it was like, well, actually, we're not that good.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's this season. Like, anybody can win and go on a run of five games this season, and anybody can go on a run and lose five games this season. And Southampton have had their purple patch. Now they're on a bit of a bad run of games. They've two wins from seven so far, coming up against Arsenal again. Arsenal absolutely horrible at the start of the season. Now they're on an unbeaten run of six games, so they're putting a bit of form together, a bit of momentum, and I think that comes with the fact that they've got first team players coming back from injury, and they've started to just look a bit more solid defensively, as well as turning attacking momentum into actual goal scoring opportunities instead of just lumping balls into the box and hoping for the best. So the Arsenal go into this game as strong enough favourites because of their cup experience, because of how much they quote unquote love this competition. But Southampton, for me, at 6-4 to win, that's not really long enough odds to take a bet on them. So I think stay away from this game in terms of the betting. One game that I would be looking at in terms of a bit of market value maybe is the Brentford Leicester game, because Brentford are a side that have impressed last couple of years in the championship. I think they're third now, maybe fourth in the championship this year again, after losing a couple of their best players. They just keep replacing them because they've got a good scouting network there, and they're currently 4-1 to draw with Leicester. So I think Leicester will go through, but it might be a little bit more difficult than people might imagine. So I think there might be a good chance for a bit of a draw there, maybe Leicester to go through in extra time.
All right, okay, that's very specific. Anything about Arsenal and Southampton sticking out for you today, Jason?
No, it's just the curious bit of insight. They actually play in the league during the week, and the prices for the league game are virtually identical. Now, Arsenal going off at Favs at St Mary's, if both teams are full strength, I'd be looking to oppose Arsenal and get with Southampton. So see what the team news is for the game. And then once I see it for the FA Cup, I'll make a guess at what it could be for the league game and maybe back an early price there. But just on the Brentford and Leicester one as well, this is how significant team news is. We actually think that Brentford are just going to, you know, bin the cup and just concentrate on getting promoted. They've already had a run in the League Cup semi-final that's possibly cost them a couple of points already. If you look in the last round against Middlesbrough, they actually made wholesale changes, and it was only Middlesbrough were actually hit by COVID that they managed to scrape through. Middlesbrough outshot them completely in the game. And Leicester, because the early market prices didn't account for Brentford not going strong in this cup game, Leicester have actually shortened from about 10 to 11 into 4 to 6 to win this match in 90 minutes. Because if you look at Leicester's game in the previous round away to Stoke, Brendan Rodgers picked about 8 or 9 of his best 11 and actually targeted to go and win that game. So team news, like Enda said at the top of the show, is really important if you're having a bet this weekend. And remember, you don't always have to have a bet, just have a bet out of interest or a bit of fun. What I do like is we've done an enhanced special for this Saturday for the 3 o'clock games. It's great to have a bunch of 3 o'clock games that you'd be interested in, but the special is West Ham, Brighton and Norwich all to win. It was 3-1, we've enhanced it to 5-1.
Okay, so West Ham, Brighton and Norwich all to win is out to 5-1. I'm just looking at the outright odds. Man City favourites, short price favourites, 9-4. Chelsea are 11-2. I know Chelsea like to do well in the cups and everything, but I'm not putting any money on Chelsea to win any trophies at the moment, the way things are going. Who knows, maybe they have a new manager and they're still in the cup at that point. Liverpool are 8-1. Spurs are 17-2. Manchester United are 10-1. Leicester are 12-1. Arsenal are 14s. Everton 16. Wolves 22, Southampton 25, West Ham 25, Brighton 40. Is there anything in that end that makes you think, yeah, actually I can see, I mean, interesting point Jason made earlier on about West Ham going for it in the cup, already there in the next round, ready to go. Like, is that a good price?
I think it just depends on how the draw falls and the further you go on, who you come up against. Because I mean, it could be all well and good putting your money on United or City, but again, they got drawn against each other in the semi-final last year. So I think United could be a decent enough price at 10s, but then if they meet Man City, I think Man City are going to beat them. So I would still consider Man City to be absolute favourites for this competition. So I don't know if a team outside of them are going to do it. It all looks good until you get punched in the face. Like, it all, West Ham look great for this competition until they meet Man City, and then they get handed a 3-0 defeat. Like, I mean, yeah, I think you're, the better sides ultimately rise to the top when it comes to the later stages of this competition. The fourth round is where you want to get these teams, because they're not all that interested and intrigued in it. But if you meet them later on, you're going to be meeting their full strength side. So I can't see an outsider winning the FA Cup this year, I don't think.
Yeah, okay. Anything on that outright market, Jason, that strikes you?
Yeah, so the reason Chelsea are second favourites is that we know if they win this game, I think they're away to Barnsley or Norwich in the next round. So they're odds on to get to the quarterfinal. And similar to Man City, Chelsea don't necessarily have a bad B team. So like, regardless of what Lampard picks, we'd expect Chelsea to be in the quarterfinal. So if you're on Chelsea at 11-2 in the quarterfinal, whether Lampard is still the manager or not, I think that's a great bet. Similarly, Leicester might be worth a look as well. We expect them to win at Brentford this weekend. And if they do, they're at home to Brighton or Blackpool in the next round. And like I said, with the team that Rodgers picked in the last round against Stoke, I think he would target, you know, going far in this cup, even if they are still, you know, technically in the league title race. And the last thing I'll say is Burnley, I still think are a bit of value there. They came through against MK Dons. Tough game the last round at home. They made hard work of it. But the fact that he played me and Tarkowski at the back and he went with Barnes and Woods up top, I think Sean Dyche will actually be taking the cup quite seriously this year round. They're away to Fulham, but if they win that, they're likely at home the next round against Bournemouth. So again, you could be on Burnley there at 60-1 in a quarter final, and as we've seen last night, very much careful of beating any team under there.
Yeah, I can see how he would say going well in the cups gives him an opportunity to perhaps get a move to a bigger club. Everybody's selling something all the way along. Jason, good stuff. Thanks very much for joining us. It's the Paddy Power Half Hour Ender. Thank you very much as well. Your conspiracy theory about Liverpool being the new Borussia Dortmund is one that no doubt we will clip. And I'm going to be interested to see what your mentions are like from the Liverpool fans, who you're essentially trolling and saying they're going to finish seventh this year. Is that right?
No, I'm arguing the complete opposite.
They're going to finish seventh, I heard. That's the cutaway. All right, that's the Paddy Power Half Hour. We're with you every Friday afternoon, bang on 1:30. We'll see you next week. Take care.
The Paddy Power Half Hour on OTB Sports. Minimal contact in stadiums. That shouldn't stop the usual suspects from going down. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.